Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's welcome Good Chop and thank them for supporting the Morning Stream. Go to goodchop.com/morningstream120 and use the code morningstream120 to get $120 off across your first four boxes. We love our patrons more than anyone else in the podcasting world. It's true. People like Blaine Robinson, Blair, and Ism. Be like them at patreon.com/TMS. Coming up on the Morning Stream, Taylor Swift won the Superb Owl.
Full Benny Hill mode.
Sam Adams. He was a pirate, right?
Lick the cookie.
Jesus saves. He shoots. He scores.
Going full Costanza.
Boiling water porn.
Turf testicle.
Social media abstinence.
Overwhelming overdog.
I suck, but I have fun with it.
Part-time piracy.
Fremont Street Police will not be involved.
The Swift Conspiracy.
Half-ass grass with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
That slug is a headliner, and God knows we can use the publicity.
Going for an elevator ride.
The Morning Stream. If you have job, you wear the pants.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for February 12th. That's a lot of February 12th.
Yeah, but it's a little math problem, right? 2-12-24.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Until you said it, didn't notice.
You'll take it. It's maybe not be the most fun numerology, but it's numerology nonetheless.
Yeah, I like numerology. I don't get weird about it. Like, sure, the world's going to end because these numbers line up.
You don't think it predicts the future or anything like that.
No. Some people do, but I don't. Freaking F that. Hey, everybody. It's the Morning Stream. I'm Scott, and that's Brian. And we're here. We're going to have some fun. We got some stuff coming up. Here's the good news. We talked about it. Brian and I have a little meeting before we go live, and some of it's very exciting. Some of it's very boring. But the exciting thing is, just a reminder, next Monday, so a week from today, tickets for TMS Vegas, Viva TMS Vegas, will be available and on the website. You'll be able to link to it directly at the Frog Pants store, or you can go to VivaTMSVegas.com. And it'll have a link there. And then you'll go off and you'll procure your tickets or ticket. If it's just you, it's fine. And then we all get to hang out in April, you know?
Yeah.
And we've got big plans. We've got cool stuff brewing. Great things we can't even talk about. Some of it, you know?
Right. I mean, it is all like, I think the calendar, the whole thing is pretty much all fleshed out. VivaTMSVegas.com. We've got not just the official events, but we've got all of the listener events as well, like the people who want to say, hey, let's all go to this restaurant for lunch, or let's do this visit to the Pinball Hall of Fame, which I can't wait to do.
Yeah. I'm wishing
for it. I didn't go last time and definitely want to go this time. Of course, I need to figure out when I'm going to corral you all-stars into your Taskville stuff, but fortunately that stuff is all going to be pretty well time managed, and we won't require anything that will involve Fremont Street Police.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful thing. Did you notice? I don't know if you noticed this, but in the Las Vegas Super Bowl that was hosted last night,
there was
a camera. It was all fake. It was like CGI, but they had this camera that was always flying under Fremont. And I every time
they playing it for you, but there was one that I watched that was the CGI strip, and it would go over here and show you, brought to you by Verizon. Yep. Over here, the NFL, and then it would get to the end of the strip where the Las Vegas sign should be, and apparently that's where the Allegiant Stadium is placed, right there.
Yeah,
the strip.
They took some liberties. On locations, like a lot, you know, movies do this. We always talk about it, right?
Of course.
You watch these movies, you're like, wait a minute, that's not how Vegas is laid out. But
yeah, Paris is not right next to Treasure Island. Come on, people.
No. But I love that. I love those shots under there because it was like it would go under the dome or the light dome on Fremont. Yeah. And,
I see what you're saying. Yeah. The cover. Yeah.
And the CGI version of Fremont was so clean and free of weirdos. You know?
Right? Yeah.
Utopia.
No people that you're like trapped in circles that you're like, don't make eye contact. Don't make eye contact. Mm. Don't make eye contact.
Yeah. That nun with her boobs out. Do not talk to her. Do not go near her. Yeah. That was kind of fun to see. But it was an interesting presentation. I guess we can talk about that a little bit. The Super Bowl is a big deal here in the States and across the world in some circles.
Sure.
We played American football, not to be confused with football, you Europeans and your weirdness and your name problem. Anyway, the game, that is what you want for a game in the Super Bowl. You do not want a long, drawn out, no scoring game, although I was worried at first because the score took forever to get points on the damn
board. Defense wins championships, and they both teams showed that they had what it takes to win a championship based on just defense alone.
Yep. I could not believe. I made a decision last night that I'm not looking. This may sound stupid, but I'm not looking at social media today at all. Like I'm abstaining 100% this morning instead of kind of checking and looking at replies and stuff. I kept reading a book I'm reading. Then I never touched my phone this morning. The only thing I checked it for is to make sure I didn't have any text from you or anything from the family. Yeah, other than that, I don't care.
Sure.
And so I just put it aside. And the reason I did this is what prompted it. You might say, well, Scott, is it the proliferation of political content online? Is it the
the constant barrage of people thinking that Taylor Swift is part of some sort of psyops operation?
Well,
I guess that's redundant, but yeah.
Sure. But you're kind of close because the big conspiracy, one of the trending topics last night was that the game was thrown it was rigged in favor of the Chiefs, and it was because financially nobody involved could handle them losing, given the Taylor Swift connection and the Travis Kelce connection, and that if the game was lost by the Chiefs, that billions of dollars would just sieve out, and you wouldn't be able to recover, and so you had to rig it. And, you know, there's this whole thing going on, right? And I just said, you know what? I looked at that. I looked at my phone. I looked at it and I went, I think I'm done with this.
Yeah.
I think I'm finally. It's funny that this is the thing that might do it, right? A stupid Super Bowl. Who cares? A dumb conspiracy theory. But people were so believing it. They were all blue checks, of course.
Of course. Oh, really?
They were so into it that I was like, I think I might be done. I'll use it for interact with people. Hey, thanks for the reply. Yeah, sure. We are doing a show that day. Check my DMs. Oh, yeah, the store will have those back in stock, whatever. Let's talk some. Hey, you seem cool. And how's your daughter doing? I'm into that, but I don't want to hear
doing
this.
Doing a new episode of something, you'll post it on there, but you may not post the things that are like, here's my Jeff Goldblum. You are going to have some scores in your football game, right?
Yeah. I'm glad you noticed that one.
I did. Yes, I got a kick out of it.
And I may still post like an idiot, but I am no longer. I'm not looking at public feeds anymore. I'm just not going to do it.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Because so I cannot deal with those people anymore. I can't do it. This kind of stupidity is just painful for me.
Here's my promo. Here's some words of wisdom. See ya.
Here's a joke. I'm out.
I'm out. Yes.
And if you reply, I'll see your reply. I'm checking those. I'll do that. But I am no longer partaking in the public hose. The public hose is off.
Yeah, no, I stopped that long ago. Like I feel like I'm in a little, I'm Bubble Boy basically, and the card says Moops, but I basically only look at when I go into Threads. I just go right to the little heart thing and I just see, I see the feeds of the people that I follow and who follow me and who reply and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Same with Twitter. I'm off I don't even look at the fire hose. That's basically just, yep, here's my little, my list of people I follow and who follow me. And then, okay, okay, just looking,
yeah, blinders. Yeah, have your blinders on. There's nothing wrong with it. It's healthy. I actually had a way better morning. Felt better. Like, it was just like less bombardment of stupidity. And I just can't deal with stupid stuff. It just makes me feel like I have to get involved. So I'm not doing that anymore. I'm done.
Social media hands everybody a megaphone, and I think we can all agree there's a few people out there who just shouldn't have a megaphone.
No.
Who should still maybe whisper.
Yeah.
Not shout into the crowds.
Some other some megaphones.
Or just keep it all to yourself.
Yeah, just keep that megaphone in your room, put it in the pillow and yell at it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So anyway, that was a thing. But the game was amazing. Holy shit.
That was fun. That was a fun watch. Exciting.
Nail biter.
To the end. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was all about 49ers this game. They, back in the day, I've told you before, and I think I told you Saturday, but back in the day, they were our surrogate team, mostly because of Steve Young and that connection to Utah. So it just felt like, hey, we got to root for the 49ers. And we did, and we loved it. And we loved Joe Montana, and we loved Jerry Rice and all this stuff. And then all these years later, it's jumped around. So it depends on how well your Broncos were doing. We usually would get behind them. And if they weren't winning, then we were just like, well, I like Green Bay or you know, we'd sort of settle on whatever. But always Broncos, 49ers would get preference because they're close. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when the Raiders moved to Vegas, we were like, oh, they're actually closest now.
They became the closest team, yeah.
So we got excited about them and you know, we get all rallied around them. But they did not great this year, so whatever.
Sure.
The point is, the 49ers are kind of, last night, they were kind of our team. I have nothing against the Chiefs. They're fine, but they're fine. I don't like the overdog. I like the underdog, you know?
Yes, right. And actually, it's funny because the 49ers really were favorite by 2 points favored in the spreads in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So it wasn't an overwhelming, there wasn't an overwhelming underdog or overdog, but they're, but the, you know, the 49ers, and that's who I was hoping for. As a Denver Bronco fan, as a person who lives in Denver, the frequent but not always Denver Bronco fan.
Sure.
The Chiefs are considered rivals to us. So we just by proximity don't root for the Chiefs. But last night, it's hard not to. I mean,
Oh my gosh, they're so good.
You see Mahomes kind of saying, oh, yeah, none of my passes and the running game is only working with Pacheco. So, screw it. I'm just going to run in myself constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, that last touchdown,
yeah,
if Pacheco would have run that in, I would have had a nice little $5 turning into $55 parlay bet. Turns into a free bet.
We were going to do a degenerate check today, and I forgot to ask. Yeah, so
all right.
You just kind of equaled out. You didn't lose.
No, didn't. Well, if you count getting free bets for the, basically, I just said, all right, yeah, let me do the no sweat bets, which basically is like, if you put $10 on a 4-way parlay, if it doesn't hit, then we just give you a $10 free bet that you can use on anything else tomorrow, or you know, use it whenever you want. But you get it tomorrow. So I have a bunch of these free bets now, but I lost my three parlays that I set up. So I had three losing parlays, and I had one on two on the 49ers and one on the Chiefs, kind of hedging, quote unquote, hedging my bets.
Yeah.
And now I have three free bets that I'm going to use and probably do something that I do way better at, which is college basketball or hockey or something. Those seem to be the bets where I do a lot better.
Well, congratulations on not losing your shirt, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yes, yes. No shirt lost, and we'll see if maybe I can turn one of these bonus bets into some cash, some free cash.
Look, there's no question that Mahomes is the next great quarterback, but I have one problem.
Yeah.
And it's the same problem I have
like
with
Rorschach.
Yeah, a little bit. But my biggest problem is it's not just him. It's anybody in sports who, when they get approached by the game is done, we've been in overtime, they win the game, and the reporter comes up and, you know, wants to get a first reaction out of him, why do they always have to blame Jesus for the win? Because I don't like
blame
it.
Blame Jesus for the win.
It doesn't, what it tells me is like, oh, okay, he wasn't, you cannot determine the football fandom of a deity, okay?
Exactly. Like all of a sudden, God said, you know what? Or Jesus or whoever. Insert name of supreme being here.
Yeah.
He says, you know, I'm kind of feeling the Chiefs today. I'm kind of going to, you know, it's not like the, he's saying, yeah, I don't want the 49ers to win.
Yeah. There's a great cartoon that shows a guy running in for a touchdown and he's pointing to the sky and he goes, mm-hmm. Jesus, this touchdown's for you. And then the second frame is Jesus on a couch watching a hockey game. I love that. You don't care. Nobody That's cares. Awesome. Like, quit doing that. Like, I understand. Look, I know that there's some players with deep religious mm-hmm. stuff. Fine.
Sure.
That's
sure.
great. It's
totally fine.
Have yes. whatever you want to have. But the first thing out of your mouth, well, first of all, I want to thank, you know, it was God, what did it? I'm like, no, you're just a bunch of athletes. Yeah. And partly you got lucky. And also these teams
Take the credit yourself. You know, I trained really hard for this. I really worked hard. I sacrificed a bunch of, opportunities to go out and have fun and drink beers with the guys, to go out and do some running and do some drills and practice. And it was really that made the difference. Mm. Like, take ownership that you did it yourself and don't give the win to God. By the way, the giving the win to God is the basis of the first hilarious 5 minutes of the TV show Miracle Workers, where Steve Buscemi is God and or is Jesus, and basically is thanks, I love you. Oh, I love you. Like, he's just watching. He just watches TV and keeps rewinding back to watch this guy say, you know, really, this one goes out to God. This win.
Wow. I love that. I hadn't seen that. That's great.
You need to watch it. Watch the first season. It's a self-contained little season, and and as much as I hate saying this, you can skip the Mad Max influenced fourth season, Max parody fourth season.
Zing, bing a bong.
I hate to say it. Maybe you'll like it more. But
maybe I won't though. Yeah. Maybe you're right.
Yeah.
I know crap when I see it, Brian.
Watch the first season. Have I ever steered you wrong, Scott? No. I've never steered you wrong.
No, usually in fact, I can't think of one where a recommendation wasn't good. You and I usually agree. It's usually Team Gibbet on Film Sack. That's how it goes.
Usually, yeah.
The commercials I thought were boring and dumb. There are a couple of them that made me laugh. The ones that made me laugh were probably not supposed to be funny, but they still made me laugh. Honestly, I couldn't even tell you.
The April Ludgate, Ron Swanson, you know, the Mountain Dew Baja Blast one with
That was all right. Yeah.
That was all right. I mean, again, it's when all things are kind of a C, the thing that's a C+ kind of rises to the surface.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's apparently more that I need to see, because we went to my buddy Chris Brown's house and watched the game there with him and his daughter and what he described as some epic snacks, which were some epic snacks.
I'll bet.
And we started watching the commercials, but then we started talking about the ukulele and started talking about all these other things. So I think there are a few commercials I might not have gotten the whole thing for. I don't understand why DoorDash makes you forget stuff. We missed the first part of the commercial that explains that.
Yeah, that was. I will say I kind of like the Jennifer Lopez, Matt Damon
the
slash
Duncan.
Yeah, that one. That was pretty funny. Although Duncan's closing like locations left and right.
Oh, really?
Is it because they spent all that money on that ad? My gosh, the frick, dude! Because they were the two locations that used to be near me gone.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Wow. Just poof, gone. And then there was one on my way south if I was going to go to the highway up there. That's gone. Replaced with a Einstein Brothers or something. Okay. Like, they're suffering, I think, nationwide, not just here. So that was weird.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. Their donuts used to be great. Now they're meh.
Yeah,
they're
not that great. They're okay.
They're still better than Winchell's. They're still better than Krispy Kreme, but it's a long jump to mom-and-pop-owned bakeries that have just amazing donuts and then Lamar's, which I know is a chain, and I will put them
Lamar's is good,
head and shoulders above everyone else.
Yeah, sometimes a chain is a reason. There's a reason they're a chain.
There's a reason. Yeah, exactly.
So overall, that stuff, whatever, I didn't care much about it. Here's my favorite part, though.
Yeah.
So we kind of kept it nice and chill. Kim and I so we had the kids all weekend, for most of the weekend or part of the weekend. No pukers this time. Happy kids.
Oh,
everything
good.
Was great.
Good.
No problem. I will admit, a little feeling in the back of my head, like, oh, someone going to Ralph. Are we going to have, you know, no one did. It was fine. So we watched it ourselves, just Kim and I. and didn't do any kind of big party or anything. We had, you know, we did our own food and stuff, but it was nice. Just Kim and we haven't had a lot of alone time lately, so this was like our kind of chill out and sit on the couch and eat wings and laugh and hang out with each other. So it was nice. But here's the weird bit. My viewing of it this year was via the Paramount Plus app because I don't have another live TV service. To do it on Paramount Plus, owned by CBS, was also doing it. And for the most part, no issues. Although big moments in the game were the only times I seemed to have any issues. And those issues were, I never lost connection. I never had the service go down. But a few times the video would go into full Benny Hill mode.
And so just, you see the players walking around the field.
Yep, they would go really fast. And Jim Nance, his voice wouldn't change. So he'd be like, oh, we got something happening on the whatever line. And people just running around. It was ridiculous. Yeah. And every time it happened, I was too slow getting my phone out to catch it because it was actually the funniest part of the night was just watching this thing foul up. So the it was okay. Overall, though, I think they did a decent job with it. And I really like Jim Nance. He's a Utah connection. He used to be a local sports guy here years and years ago, back when I was, I think, a teenager or something, is when Jim Nance was here. So I thought the calling of the game was really good. It was just an overall great game. I enjoyed it. I don't like all the pre-stuff where it's like those guys fawning over each other at the desk. Like, I get a little tired of all that. It's like, all right, are we going to all just sit around and touch each other's wieners this entire show? Like, that stuff kills me. But the actual game, when cleats hit turf, great. Usher, I don't care. It's fine.
I know Usher. I mean, I know of Usher. I know of two of his songs that I recognized he played. I didn't know the other ones. I thought the choreography was great. I figure every show on the Las Vegas Strip must have been dark because there was not a Cirque du Soleil absinthe performer that was not on the field of Allegiant when this was going on.
How convenient, by the way, to have. They should do the Super Bowl in Vegas every year. All your extras are taken care of. They're just there.
I agree. Yeah.
They must have
some
crazy.
Leave it to Vegas, by the way. Yeah. Leave it to Vegas to create a football stadium that looks like a giant hockey puck and then use it for football.
Yeah. I mean, I think that thing looks really cool at night, but in the daytime, that looks like a lump. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Looks fine. Really? Looks great at night. Like a lot of Vegas, at night, it's beautiful. Yeah. It's like, wow, the screen out front is really cool, and the lighting, and the way it reflects on the black tiling and all that. But in the daytime, it looks like a melted little tar chunk. It's just weird.
You drive by it, and you're...
It was a beautiful day, Uber. Though. Gorgeous sunset, like beautiful skies, all that rain that cleared out all the guck and everything, that made Vegas look like the place to be. That looked really nice. So anyway, because it's a good time, had fun. Know, it's America's weird pastime and we're into it. All right.
Sure. And I'm glad it's over. Sorry. I'm glad football is over. Football during my degenerate gambling experiment did not win me much money. I still
wasn't your best friend.
Way better with basketball and hockey and stuff. So,
well, when we get our hockey team, which apparently is eminent,
really
NHL team, we're getting an expansion team here soon. You'll have a new team to bet on or against because they probably suck. And by the way, someone earlier said, "What about the Arizona Cardinals?" I don't root for them because they're never within striking distance of needing to be rooted for. They're bad. No offense, but they never get there.
They need a lot more than just you rooting for them.
They're like the Detroit Lions. They've been around since the league started, and how often do they get in the playoffs? Like 1,000,000 to 1, and they finally did? Well, then I get excited. It's like that. So I'm a fair weather fan is what I'm saying.
Sure.
Real quick here, we got a call from somebody about something that made me laugh, and I think Amy in the chat? Because Amy needs to hear this. If she's not, I'll send it to her later. Okay. But this is great. Check
I think
out.
She is. Hey. I saw her earlier.
Yeah. Oh, she. Okay, cool. Here you go.
Hey, TMS. One of the things you need to add to your list, Scott, is to start Dungeon Crawler Carl. The reason I know you haven't started it is because you're not talking about it, because you would be talking about it because it's that good. So now that you got Parasite out of the way, put that one to the top of the list. Have a great day. Love the show.
I'm totally reading this series.
Wow.
And I've said it on the show before that I'm reading it right now.
Yeah, you even said you were reading it when Amy described it, or no? You had known about it when Amy described it, and
well, she introduced it to me. I had heard of it, but she introduced me to like, oh, this is good, by the way, because I always thought the name sounded so stupid. I just sort of wrote it off, and she was like, oh, you got to read it. So I started after her recommendation, and that is an amazing. That first book's incredible. I'm going to do the whole damn thing. There's a new one coming. But but then I also brought it up numerous times. But yeah, I guess I'm not fawning over it like Mad Max Fury Road or something.
Sure.
But that's not because I don't like it.
People don't think that it's like apparently like CrossFit, where, well, I know he doesn't do CrossFit. Otherwise, he'd be talking about CrossFit all the time.
Exactly. Or cold bath therapy, whatever that is, where you get
right. Sure.
Someone tried to talk me into that the other day. Who was that? Some friend of mine. Anyway, he's texting me, said, really? Do you need to try this? Oh, you'll feel so much better. It'll change your life. Oh,
I would say question your friendship with that person.
Like, really? I don't know, if I want to get into that. This sounds awful. Yeah.
I did finally download We Play Games to my iPad to listen to. I feel like that's different from an audiobook because it's more of like an audio drama. It's the thing that Amy recommended last time we had her on, which was the couple that kind of toys with the lives of their neighbors and friends.
Right.
Yeah. Looking forward to checking that out.
You're gonna have to report on that. I'm curious about it.
I will. Yeah. Yeah. It sounded great when I heard the clip.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, we also had a little birthday dinner for Tina. Took her out to Trattoria Stella, which is a really nice Italian restaurant here in town.
Yep.
Had a bunch of her friends and
I saw pictures. Did I see the real Chris Brown in that shot?
You saw the real Chris Brown right next to me and Crazy Neighbor and Mrs. Crazy Neighbor and then our friends who own the candy store in Georgetown, Kathy and Scott, and when you come to Denver, go to visit Georgetown and the candy store there because it's some great stuff.
That's awesome. I'm glad she had a good birthday.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Everybody needs a good birthday, here and there.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Except me. I don't care much. It's like whatever.
No, you need a good birthday. Even if it's not, you don't need a party, but you need a good birthday. Everybody should have a good day on their birthday.
You know what? That's a fair point. I'm going to change my attitude and I'm going to agree with you.
There you go.
You.
Good. Good.
Good news, everybody. You guys remember the TMS mug that says say stafe on the back of it? Well,
it was very popular during the pandemic. Yes.
Yep, yeah, we did pretty well with this one. Well, guess what? We're preparing for the future. The episode 3000 mugs are still a ways off. We're at episode 2598, by the way. So we're nearly at the 2500 mark. But when we get to 3000, we're going to have a brand new mug. In preparation for that, to make room, this mug was normally $16. We are doing a clearance sale. Rock bottom price here, $4.99 for the Stay Safe mug, or the Say Stafe mug.
Get out. That must be a misprint, that price. What?
It's crazy, right? This black morning coffee mug, amazing thing. It's been here forever. We're having a clearance sale, $5, $4.99 for this thing, and they are going to be, when they're gone, they're gone. There is no reprinting. There is no second batch.
I love these mugs.
Yeah, they're amazing.
They are solid. They are attractive. They're solid. They hold a lot of coffee or tea or whatever your drink of choice is.
Yeah, whatever your little hot beverage is, just put it in there. Chat, I'll put it in your chat here real quick so you guys have a link to it if you're interested. And anybody at home, just go to frogpants.com/store and check out the clearance section there and you'll find it. There's a couple of things in there that are on clearance, but that's the one you're going to want since you listen to the show. So please get the mug and get it going. Okay. Finally.
One last thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to announce. So we have our play date coming up at the end of this month, the 23rd, Friday the 23rd. What? 2 weeks, basically. from where we're at now. And normally we do, you know, Jackbox, or normally we do Among Us, something like that. We're going to do something totally different. Big thanks to Alkabob, who does the interfaces in the games that we use for Feud and for Half-Asses, which we'll be doing in a minute here. He's come up with something with, he and I have come up with something based on, oh, I don't know, it might be based on a game show that's currently on by Rob Lowe, but we won't even talk about that. It's called The Pond, and because you're the tadpole, it's The Pond. So basically it's a trivia game where you take territory away from other tadpoolers. So we need contestants, and tomorrow I'll do another announcement, but I'll have a sign-up form. But what I want you to do as you hear this is be thinking about a category that you think you're pretty good at in trivia, something that you're pretty knowledgeable about, and you're going to get some trivia questions based on that category. So tomorrow you'll have a little sign-up form, and I have to write a crap ton of trivia questions because of this, but you have to also make sure that you're going to be available to play live on the 23rd. There's no, you can't not be here live. You have right. to play live.
Yeah.
So,
and the whole idea, here is
Discord.
And yeah. you're, oh, that's what I was going to say. We got to be able to hear you.
We got to have you on audio.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's a couple of caveats like that, but for the most part, that sounds like a lot of you who we know. We need, was it 16 you said, people?
At like 16 minimum, but I could do 25. It has to be a square number.
Okay.
So
times that by how many questions is it? If you had, let's say you had 20.
Three questions per per player. So it's going to be 75 questions, some of which are going to be categorized I know nothing about, but I'm going to do my best to write something that's challenging.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. And I think, you know, if, well, we'll talk about times and stuff, but we might need to start at 9 just so we have enough time to do it all. So we'll see.
All right. Well, there you have it.
Yeah. So be thinking about your category, and then I'll have a sign up form, and you'll sign up with your screen name, your Discord name or whatever, and your category. And if multiple people want the same category, I'll have to do some sort of DM talking to both of you to figure out which one, who gets it and who has to come up with something else.
Excellent. Can't wait for this.
Yeah.
Tell you what else I can't wait for. The sultry sounds of the voice box belonging to Brian Dunaway. Hey, man. What's going on?
Hi, Scott and Brian.
Hey.
Hello.
That sure was some fun last Thursday in the world of Unreal Tournament again, wasn't it? It was a good time.
Did you guys play yesterday? Dang it.
No,
not yesterday.
Played on Friday.
We played. Yes, yeah.
Friday after Play Retro. But we're going to play again tonight. What time? I forgot.
6:30 p.m. Eastern Time or 4:30 Mountain Time. Whatever.
4:30 Mountain. I'll be there. I'm playing for sure.
I'm playing for
Brian,
sure.
Brian, you should try to get in there.
I want to play. Yeah. So yeah. What time do you say? So basically 4:30 our time.
4:30
right?
our time.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
Making a note.
I'm ready. I've got my textures downloaded. I've got I've customized my dude. So he's alien dude.
I love every time I talk to somebody who's about to join and play for the first time in decades. And yes. They all say the same thing. I am ready. And then they get in there and they're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is too fast.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I have no doubt. I am just gonna get like I can't even keep up with the bots. Like I play the bots like you've killed five bots and the bots have killed you all 20 times.
It's challenging, man. It's a hell of a thing, but we're going to be doing it again. It's going to be great.
I suck, but I have fun at it.
There's so many great people in the Frog Pants, Diamond Club, Mission Deep community. They're just gotten so good at it too. They've totally picked back up.
You know, those Diamond Group people aren't allowed. They can't come in.
I didn't know that. No. I'm sorry. The Diamond Group.
They can't even play anyway because they need their fingers and they're too busy doing the symbol to actually play the game because you need all your fingers for the keyboard, but they're too busy doing this.
I don't know what the Diamond Club did to you guys.
Well, you know, let's Clara never told you to F off. Let's get into it. Hey, we're gonna play a game and try to win some prizes for people. Brian, but do you want to explain how that works? And How's it going to go?
Sure will. Welcome to The Morning Half-Ass is a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you the answers. I'll give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct and three of which are much like my former pronunciation of the website Temu is just flat out wrong. You get, depending on how confident you feel with the category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses, but if you get any of those guesses wrong, you get 0 points for that round. Get one right, get a point. Two right gets you 3 points. Three right gets you 5 points. The total number of points determines the winner, of course. If you get any wrong, you get 0 points for that round. Did I say that? And the most player with the most points after three rounds win the prize for their contestant. Contestants pulled from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you're playing for Kelly Beach, up close to me here in Brighton, Colorado.
Nice. Nice.
I'm not a fan of Brighton, but, you know. Brian, wow. I'm kidding. I like Brighton.
Wow.
Here's my problem with Brighton, is that I want to stay in the city. When I'm lifting, when I'm Ubering, I want to stay in the city. And, sure. And eventually somebody wants to go up to Brighton. Brighton is like the pool filter. Once you get into Brighton, you can't get out of Brighton.
Scorch earth on everything?
My school, I went to Brighton High School, so this stings a little.
Oh,
even there.
That's funny. Your Brighton might be easier to get out of than my Brighton. Mm. And the UK's Brighton I love, because they've got that awesome candy called Brighton Rock. Queen liked it so much, they made a whole song about it.
Oh, my gosh.
Brian, you're going to be playing for Ethan in Melbourne, Australia. I don't know how their candy is. Yeah.
It's fantastic. I have, of course. Have you ever gotten any candy from down under?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got eight legs and moves. Their candy is a spider.
Yeah, well, I've had purple flake. No, what's it called? Purple crumble. Violet crumble.
Violet crumble?
That stuff's great. Yes, violet crumble.
Violent crumble down there.
No, violet
plum,
crumble.
Plum rumble.
Oh, crumble will kill you.
Yeah, watch out. It's a whole spider inside of that.
Exactly. All right, let's get to the game. We've got three categories here. Oops, I need to reload. Reload the page.
Reload.
I let it sit for too long. All right, your first category and your six possible answers. Characters from Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. We're familiar with Alice's. We all love Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. We love it. We love it. We call her Alice. Right? We love Alice. All right. Characters from Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Your choices are the Dodo, the King of Hearts, the Jabberwock, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, the Walrus and the Carpenter, and the Mock Turtle.
Oh my gosh.
Which of these three are from the book, and which three are not from the book?
I think one of them is a trick, so I'm going to avoid it.
I can't. Yeah, we've never had a tricky, but it's not technically, but yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, both of you locked in. Let me put.
Yeah, pay attention.
Let me don my glasses here. All right. It seems like Captain Kipper saw what we were putting down. The Dodo is from Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Yeah. The Jabberwock is mentioned in Alice's Through the Looking Glass, as are Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
Shit, a trick.
Two
it
different
was
books.
A trick.
Yeah, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland featured the Dodo, the King of Hearts, and the Mock Turtle. And the Jabberwock, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, and the Walrus and the Carpenter were all from Alice Through the Looking Glass.
I thought gotcha. King of Hearts. Well, there definitely is the Queen of Hearts, right?
The Queen of Hearts is in, right. So the King of Hearts appears in Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. The Queen of Hearts appears in Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Damn it. That just shows how little I know about
I
that
know.
Series.
It was a... Then you were talking about tricksy. Exactly, and you were like saying, "Oh, finally we get a question that isn't a trick." Oh, good job, Brian.
Yeah.
So much for that
jerk.
All right, let's see if this one is a trick or not. Historical pirates. Which of these are historical pirates? Blackbeard, Red Rackham. Rackham, hardly even know him. Captain Hook, Captain Morgan, Calico Jack, and Mad Jack. Three of those are historical pirates. Three of them are not.
Oh gosh, dude. I'm going with two again.
I'm a pirate.
I'm scared.
All right. Okay, you're both locked in. Both of you locked in with two. Both of you locked in with Blackbeard. Yeah, Blackbeard was a pirate from 1680 to 1718. I guess he was alive from those dates. He was only a pirate for most of those years.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Not all of them.
Yeah.
Yar.
He's legendary, that guy. He's great.
Captain Morgan is a rum, but yeah, he's also a pirate.
He's
Captain
also a pirate, a pirate, baby.
Shit.
From 1635 to 1688. Calico Jack, also a pirate. Red Rackham is from Tintin. Captain Hook, of course, is from Peter Pan. And Mad Jack is its own animated series.
You know what I did? I mixed up Captain Morgan with the beer from the one of the who's the founding father that made beer?
Ben Franklin.
Right? No, the other one.
Who else made beer?
Shit.
Sam Adams?
Sam Adams. Samuel Adams.
Sam Adams. Yeah, okay.
So I was thinking Samuel Adams for some reason. I'm like, well, he wasn't a pirate.
Hilarious.
Damn it. I got my drink. This is a problem when you're not a drinker.
Well, see, if you hung out with Diamond Group, as you call them.
Group, yeah.
They talk about Captain Morgan. Well, they used to all the time.
Yeah, they used to do the skit. Jerry would put his leg up on something and
Yeah.
And get interviewed by Schwitty. All right, one last question. Brian, going into question three with 3 points. Scott, 0 points, so you probably better go for this one.
Yeah.
Objects visible to the naked eye in the night sky. So which of these things, according to NASA, can you see?
My junk.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
All right. Better known as the Little Dipper.
Yeah.
Which of these can you see, according to NASA, without the aid of any equipment? The Crab Nebula, the Small Magellanic Cloud, Neptune, the moons of Saturn, Uranus, and Mercury. Which three of those can you see unaided with the naked eye in the night sky?
I think I know some of this. Shit. I'm going to have to go for it, right?
You do have to go for it.
Go for it, dude.
Oh, all right.
Bruh.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Scott, you locked in with three of them, the Crab Nebula, the moons of Saturn, and Neptune. Brian, you locked in with also with the Crab Nebula and Mercury. You can actually see the Small Magellanic Cloud, Uranus, and Mercury with the naked eye. Scott, you picked three, the three that weren't.
Oh, wow.
That's embarrassing. You know why this is embarrassing? I've been watching so much astrophysicist stuff.
Oh, yeah, with, right.
Ronnie All kinds of stuff. Yeah. Brian Cox.
Ronnie Cox. We talked about, that's what confused me, we talked about that.
The bad guy in RoboCop, he knows a lot about, you know.
Yeah, he's so great at that sort of
thing. He's really good. But yeah, I've been so into it lately and like reading all kinds of stuff and just going deep. And I feel dumb now.
I guess you never talked about seeing stuff with the naked eye.
I would have said Crab Nebula as well. I thought that you could see, maybe not, you obviously wouldn't be able to make out the shape of the Crab Nebula, but you could at least see the fuzzy light that makes up the nebula. Well, that means that Brian, you win for your contestant, who's like I said, Ethan in Melbourne, Australia.
Violet
Crumble.
Yeah.
He's also going to get a copy of Soldiers. That's Soldiers with a U. Soul, because they fight with soul. And Midnight Fight Express.
Don't know what
the
that
worst
is.
Train to be on.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. That sounds like something you. Well, the only rule is you never talk about it, I guess. So that's why I'm
right. Exactly. Yeah. But Kelly Beach in Brighton, you're going to get a copy of LX2. I don't know what that is. I don't know what any of these games are, but by golly, they're fun. And they were sent to us again. Big thanks to Wesley for sending us these games.
Nicely done. Here, I'll give you this one, Dunaway.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
I get this. Oh, that's okay. I'll do better
next
time.
Fletcher played Unreal Tournament with us. Yeah, he did.
Really?
Yeah, he did.
Nice.
He played Friday, and hopefully he'll show up again tonight. I don't know who's going to be there, but I know I'm going to be there. It sounds like Gibb will be there. Dunaway will be there. Bunch of us will be there, and it'll all lead in nicely because once that's over with, Carter and I have a new episode of the Monday show this evening. That'll happen right after that. So make your entertainment Monday plans now, everyone, and stick to frogpants.tv.
I look forward to shooting it right up your Crab Nebula.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Will. That's going to be fantastic. Brian, kiss our butts and suck a
rag. You.
Bye. All right, he's out. And that gives us 5 minutes to do some quick news, which I'm going to do right now. Whoops. Right now. It's time for the news brought to you by
a lake walk where high only happened going south. Scott, please explain.
So this weird thing happened yesterday. Kim and I were going to walk all the way the length of this lake we live near. It's about a 45 minute to and 45 minute back. Good high intensity, nice. up yeah, down, all that
distance.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And we were going to stop at this new pizza place they had over there, which we wanted to see how it was and support. It was really good, by the way, but I don't remember the name. Anyway, I go all the way over there and I noticed that on the north walk going to it, we said hi to about 15 people as they passed us. Nobody replied. Yeah. Not a soul.
I hate that.
Yeah. I hate it too. On the way back, everybody, maybe that equal number or more, replied and said hi. So I don't know what's going on with the southbound thing where everyone's very friendly, like we were going north.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I guess it was everybody going south was not happy, but everybody going north was happy. I can't figure it out. Because
you were walking north, but the people who were walking towards you were walking south.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. It really was weird, and I didn't like it. So
I get irritated, I you know, and I shouldn't. It's basically like, you know, people have the prerogative of saying hello and they don't, not saying hello, right? I get it.
Yeah.
But I frequently, like when I'm on the bike, I always say, you know, coming up on your left. Mm-hmm. And then when I pass them, I say thank you. And only about a third acknowledge me at all, even with like just a nod or a have a nice day or yep or anything like that.
Yeah, cheer up, people. You want to go full Costanza on these people and yell that we live in a society.
Exactly. Like none of them, some of them will just, they'll go to the side and then they'll just not even talk. Like I'll say thank you, I'll say have a nice day, and I, you know, I know that I see the ones that have earbuds in and I understand that, but if you can hear me,
yeah,
if you can hear me say on your left and I say thank you, you're welcome, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And we live in a society,
no problem, or
exactly. What does it hurt you at all to just smile?
It's all I want is something that we're people, right? Let's acknowledge each other as people. Can we be people to each other?
And now I will ignore anything Claire says because she'll say it's something about being American.
Right. Exactly. We don't do that in Ireland. Everybody says hello to each other because that's the crack.
Yep. You throw a potato. That's all you do. You throw a potato.
One quick news story that we'll get to here. A mother has been jailed 3 years, it's a pretty long time, for splashing boiling water on a porn-watching son. That's... I'd like to know precisely when she did it.
Or on what?
I don't know. That's terrible. A woman was sentenced to 3 years in jail by the Malika Sessions Court. Malika? I guess is what you're saying.
Yeah, Malacca.
Yeah, where is this?
This is Malaysia.
Malaysia, okay. Malacca, Malaysia. Yeah.
Malacca, Malaysia.
It's fun to say.
Salam.
says, for splashing boiling water on her son after she caught him watching pornographic videos on her phone.
Jeez.
Sinar Harian.
Did she use a red tube to pour the boiling water?
Oh, that'd be amazing. A red tube.
A red tube. I don't know what that means. I don't get it. Somebody else said
What is that? Red
I just
tube?
What they said. I don't know.
Chat, what is that? What is red tube? We don't know. It's handed down the sentence. 38-year-old woman who pled guilty after the charges were read. She was charged with intentionally inflicting severe injuries on her then 13-year-old son by splashing boiling water at a house in a civil servant's residence area in Sungai Undang.
Sure.
Malaika, around 2:56 a.m. Oh, man, right in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Nothing good happens after midnight.
Use earbuds, kid.
Yeah. Do something to, I don't know, go somewhere.
No, that's horrible. That is horrendous.
Yeah, that's not good. It says here, however, the friend's mother lodged a police report after the friend saw his injury. So that's how this got reported. Yeah. The mother of five, who is not represented, pleaded to a lighter sentence as she has three younger children, a six-year-old disabled child, and a four-year-old and a six-month-old. I'm still going to put her in jail for 3 years. That's a lot. Let's see. Also, following the incident, she suffered increased stress as a psychiatrist patient and had to increase her medicine dosage with the permission of her doctor from 50 milligrams to 100 per day.
So up your dosage, basically, is what you're sentenced to jail and up your dosage.
Yep. Those are the rules. We don't make them up.
Yeah. No. Child abuse, animal abuse, I have very little sympathy for any of that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of what my kid, there's nothing I can think of any of my kids would have to do.
React like that? Nothing at
all. Anything. It would, they would have, you know what it would have to be? they'd have to be charging their mother with a knife.
Sure.
And then I'll do something physical to stop them. But
yes, but probably not searing them with boiling water.
Whoops. I don't know why that played. you're right. That's horrible. It's boiling that's water. Horrible. You can die from that.
Exactly.
Or the worst, have like, I don't know. Can you get third degree burns from boiling water? You probably can.
Probably can. Yeah. Use just, you know, hot coffee. It's not quite as hot. It's
right.
Not, it's not gonna blister or you know, wreck your epidermis, but it gets the point across, as we've learned from numerous Jason Bourne films, Transporter films. Just a cup of hot coffee can
stop. That's all you need. You use McDonald's coffee, you might get money out of it, you know.
Right.
Sue them for the big money. All right, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, Bobby's here to do some science talk with us today.
Bobby!
We'll see how far away his crab nebula is when we bring him on. So that'll be soon. Stick around. Before that, though, I sure could use some music, Brian.
Well, I've got some music for you, and I'm bringing it to you from a couple of siblings that perform under the name the Muo Duo, M-U-O-D-U-O, Muo Duo. This is Miles and Winter, Miles and then his younger sister, Winter. They just released in 2022 an EP called After Pop. I think we may have even played something from that here. They've got a brand new single that they've released called Exciting Times. But Winter, who you'll hear in this song doing vocals as well, she's just 15, and she appeared in as young Elsa in Disney's production of Frozen on Broadway. She is she's been on Sesame Street. She was in Diary of a Wimpy Kid, as well as Manifest on Netflix. And she's a great singer. Here are Muo Duo and Exciting Times.
Living exciting times, radioactive.
Well, well, well. Guess who has some really great meat in his meat locker? It's not really a meat locker. I have a freezer in the garage. And it keeps all my meat fresh and frozen. And good news is I got a bunch of new meat in there. Look, everybody wants to start off on the right foot in their year, right? They want lean, quality products. They want to eat well. They want to have enough energy to get done what you got to get done. Look, I'm not going to run over to the butcher shop every time I get a hankering for a quality fresh cut of meat. It's just not going to happen. And that's why Good Chop is going to be such a lifesaver here in the Johnson home. Good Chop offers fully customizable boxes of high-quality meat and seafood with no antibiotics or added hormones delivered to your door on your schedule. Go to goodchop.com/morningstream120. Use the code morningstream120 to get $120 off across all those four first boxes. It's a really, really good deal. Look, here's the other thing you can do. You can go check out all the stuff they got, right? My favorite thing is when I opened this box was these big old steaks. Oh, man. It was really, really looking good. We're talking 100% grass-fed ribeyes, USDA prime filet mignon. Oh, there's some chicken breasts in there. Free range, by the way, organic chicken breasts. Pork tenderloin, thick-cut bacon. What else can you ask for? There was even some really good fish. Anyway, life turned better when that happened because yesterday for the Super Bowl, we had some lovely steaks. I'm telling you, having it come to your door when you want it, how you want it is a trip, and it's amazing. The products are vacuum sealed and frozen at peak freshness so you can stock your freezer and cook when you want to. And they're so confident in the quality of their cuts, they offer 100% money-back guarantee. Love Good Chop or get the money back. Go to goodchop.com/morningstream120 and use the code morningstream120 to get $120 off your first four boxes. That's code morningstream120 at goodchop.com/morningstream120 for $120 off. Can't beat that deal. Get in there.
Attention all players. The third game will begin shortly.
That was a nasty gash.
And we've returned. Who was that one more time?
Sure. That was the band Muo Duo and their brand new single. Their forthcoming EP is going to be called The Muo Theory. It'll be the first of three EPs that the band is going to be dropping in the near future here. That's the song Exciting Times from Muo Duo.
Muo. It's fun to say. Muo Duo.
It is. Muo Duo.
Yeah. Good time with that.
Yeah.
All right. How scientific are you feeling?
I'm feeling very scientific. I feel like I feel like if nothing else, all the epic snacks that I ate at the Super Bowl party I went to, there was a lot of science involved in making those epic snacks.
Oh, good. Great news, everybody. We have a guy here who can help suss that all out.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, thank goodness indeed. Let's play his little intro. Where is it? Here it is. Nope, that's not it.
Science!
Bob is hungry. And the soup looks good.
It surely does. Bobby Frankenberger, also bound for Vegas in a couple of months. Do you like the emphasis on burger? How you feel?
I prefer the emphasis on Franks.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Frank. Okay. Right. Or Frank.
Should we change the audio to say, and the burger looks good?
Yeah, and the burger looks good. I'd have to go find some old-ass 1940s audio of a burger, some burger talk, but I can do it. I feel good about
it. When
I
was a kid, I thought I was a genius. That I'd come up with the restaurant idea that I was gonna just sell hot dogs and hamburgers.
Franks and burgers. Yeah, sure.
And then I realized that's like the first place everybody goes.
But it would be Bobby's Franks and Burgers, though.
Bobby's
Franks
and Burgers. I love it.
I think there probably are restaurants called Bobby's Franks and Burgers. Like, I wouldn't be surprised.
Or Bill's Franks and Burgers. There's definitely something, somebody's Franks and Burgers. Yeah.
You're making me hungry for both Franks.
It's not an unusual matchup is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Yeah.
That sounds fantastic right now. I may have a poor lunch today. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, Bobby, it's good to have you here. We bring Bobby on for some science because this guy hosts a really great science podcast called All Around Science, which you can find anywhere you find podcasts. And today, I don't know what you brought. I'm just going to guess it's good. That's it. That's all I got.
Well, it was funny because at the start of the show, you were like, I promise you guys, we're not going to talk about the sports and the Super Bowl a bunch, but mine's Super Bowl inspired.
So. Sweet.
Is it?
That's okay.
The science of Super Bowls. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah.
I would love to hear more. Please tell us.
Well, I was reading an article on Ars Technica. Is a great website I like to peruse for science information, and they've got a lot of really good. I like the way they write. I saw an article on there that was talking about this controversy that I didn't even know existed. So let me start. If anybody's worried that we're going to be talking a bunch about sports, I don't follow football at all. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch the Super Bowl.
Really? Not at all. None of it. Really?
No. Wow. I mean, I'll occasionally, like my daughter occasionally gets into just watching the University of South Carolina football games. And so we'll watch those together. But I'm not following it anyway. I'm just like spending time with my daughter.
Sure.
Right? Well,
yeah, being a dad. I get it.
So this is not... You know, so anyway, that's the disclaimer. But it's a controversy I didn't know existed, which is a controversy between whether to use real grass or fake grass on football fields.
Okay,
sure.
In fact, the NFL Players Association has been trying to, for the past few years, apparently get fake grass banned in the NFL.
Oh wow! Okay,
because the claim is. That fake grass or AstroTurf or whatever artificial turf is being used increases the rate of injuries.
Sure, because it's more slippery or something.
Well, the reasons vary widely as to why they think that is, and that might give you a little bit of a hint on where the article comes out on whether this actually is a phenomenon that exists, and it's kind of unclear. Is really what it is, but there's a history behind it, and there's really interesting stuff to be learned about, like what causes these injuries, and whether or not the thing that you're running on, the grass, actually can have an impact on whether you get injured during the course of a football game.
Sure,
right? AstroTurf. Did you know that AstroTurf was invented by Monsanto?
I'm sorry, no,
oh, really?
I did not know that. That's probably fuels some conspiracy or something.
I was about
right?
to say that, yeah. So that doesn't make the case for AstroTurf much better. but yeah, it was invented in 1968, and when they invented it, they claimed that that AstroTurf would reduce the injury rate. For football players, actually, by 80%. That was their claim, which is a lot of injury reduction. It didn't. I'll cut to the chase. It didn't reduce injuries by 80%, but that was their claim. The data that people pulled out to see whether or not injury rates were reduced, it looked like it might have been about the same, or that grass, one of the first studies looked like it showed that real grass actually had lower injury rates than AstroTurf a little bit. And so that's where the controversy started. So the reason I bring all that up is that this controversy has existed for a long time.
Interesting. I would have thought if you said to me, look, it's a contest or one of Brian's Battle Royales or something, I would have said, that AstroTurf would be significantly higher on the injury rate because it doesn't have like the soft earth part. Or maybe I don't understand.
Well, they've done
AstroTurf.
A lot of, over the years, they've made a lot of changes to AstroTurf to make it as close to feeling like real grass as possible. You know, it used to just be like polyethylene fibers that were like sewn into like a carpet base and then it would just be rolled out, right? But over time, they've added a mix of other types of fibers into that, and they've added extra padding underneath and all these kinds of things to make it feel as close to real grass as they can, because that's the goal, right? You don't want it to be different.
No. Right. You just want it to be able to hold together, because the goals are multifaceted, right? One is you want an all weather,
easy to maintain, right?
Right, yeah. All weather, easy to maintain, doesn't get all torn up, and then you have to regrow or figure out how to, you know, quick plant between seasons, or I don't know what the hell they have to do, like in Green Bay, which I think is still grass. But yeah, I assume that those are all factors in this, and those make sense to me. It's like, yeah, it's a
right.
big professional league. You want to keep as much equality on the ground as possible. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how right. you also how they reconcile that with the fact that Green Bay is turf or, you know, actual grass versus yeah. Vegas, which is obviously turf. So I don't know. I don't know how they do it. But
well, and one of the other reasons you were talking about lower maintenance, but some of the other big reasons for AstroTurf in places are places like Vegas, like Arizona,
yeah,
you know, where it's not easy to grow grass and keep it green,
hot you know? And dry, yeah,
yeah, exactly. So they kind of make the claim they need to, and there was a in the article talked about I think in Arizona there was they actually had in Super Bowl 57. So not too long ago, but they had a real grass on their field in Glendale, Arizona at the State Farm Stadium. And they spent $800,000 on the grass and it was still patchy and needed to be painted green for the Super Bowl. Oh,
right? All right.
So that's a lot of money that they're trying to save
yeah.
with, and environmental arguments are made, right? Like you're spending a ton of water to try yeah. to keep it green.
Right.
And all that kind of stuff. So the question is, does all this effort to save money and save water and save energy, is it worth it? Because are people just going to be injured more? The place that they start, the NFL Players Association, they don't just claim the injuries are higher, but they also did a poll, and apparently 92% of NFL players prefer to play on real grass as well.
Oh, that's interesting.
That is, yeah. that's a bigger number than I would have expected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious, like if it trended, more northern states or southern states, like hotter places, cooler places.
Well, that's interesting. I don't know. I don't have that data. I didn't see any yeah. data about that, but it does bring up what I think is an interesting thing. I always say, Brian, you've got a mind for the data. You're always thinking about stuff like that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's you can't just look at the numbers, because so if you want to look right. at the numbers, the NFL publishes data on the type of injuries we're talking about are typically what are called non-contact lower extremity injuries. Okay. So lower extremity being like
testicles.
Yeah, testicles.
Sure. Why not?
We're talking about like things in the legs and the feet, right?
Yeah, knees, shins. Yeah, right,
you're just you're unaware where Brian keeps his testicles. That's all.
No, I'm very aware. That's why I agreed with him.
gotcha.
But anyway, the data that they showed was about non-contact lower extremity injuries and on natural versus artificial grass fields. And to summarize the data, they basically showed that grass consistently showed a lower rate of injury, but it wasn't that much lower.
Hmm.
And that's the key. And that's what you really got to think about. When you can't just see that it's lower, right? Right. Grass showed per 100 plays, so like football play. You know, this is how football works, right?
Yeah, there football plays. Sure.
Plays.
Yeah, yeah. Plays. First and 10, I get it.
Yeah. So every 100 plays, grass shows about between 3.3 to 4.1 injuries. Right? Okay. Artificial shows between 4 and 4.8 injuries. So we're not talking about it's a big
pretty
difference.
Minimal. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, if you look at the data, they show the error bars. The error bars, because this was year by year that they showed the data, the error bars on each year overlap each other. Now, this might not immediately be like, oh, to anybody but a statistician, but what that basically means is that some of the real grass fields have higher than artificial grass. There are some real grass fields that have higher average injury rate than the artificial ones, and vice versa. Some of the artificial ones will have lower. So it really muddles the what you can actually figure out. And so,
yeah, whenever you look at data and the margin for error, like it's a really close pair of numbers, and then they say the margin of error is 2 or 3%, and that overlaps what the that 2 or 3% could shift either one of those to be the dominant and minor. It's almost like, okay, well, that's kind of non-data.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
At the very least,
or it just shows that it's much closer. Yeah.
Or that what it says to me is that if there that this is not the way to parse this data. So there may be some differences somewhere about injury rates of lower extremity injury rates, but it's not going to be by looking at year by year artificial grass versus. So maybe you need to look at stadium by stadium, right?
Interesting.
And it turns out that there was an independent analysis that did that. And they found that some of the best fields in terms of injury rates, like lowest injury rates, are artificial, and some of the worst fields are
natural.
Real grass.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say that I'm not trying to say that real grass is worse and artificial is better. I'm just saying that some of those existed in those regions. Of course, some of the worst fields were both artificial and real, and vice versa, right? So.
And I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, here's where I don't know what's directly under the sod or the turf in the natural grass versus the AstroTurf fields. Like how much dirt is there before you get to concrete? I know in the case of Legion Field, Legion Stadium, it's a concrete thing that the grass was on top of, and they basically get the grass from LA and they had to put it outside to dry out for a few days because they didn't want to have the wet grass problem that they had a few years ago with people getting injured. So that feels like that's as much a factor in all this. Well, right. This stadium has AstroTurf, but there's 2 inches of padding between the concrete and the AstroTurf or whatever there is. Also, the severity, like the injury reports, when you're looking at those, this number of injuries per 100 plays versus this number of injuries per 100 plays, the seriousness of the injury. If it's something that's like, oh, yeah, we had more injuries, but they were all like, walk it off, you're fine, versus like, oh, no, this person needed ice and, and we're out for the rest of the game kind of thing.
And to be fair for the NFL report, I think that they were reporting injuries that caused players to lose time. Like they weren't able to play in the next X number of games. So they were considering decent injuries, not just like, you know, like, oh, I cramped a muscle and I just need to, you know, stretch it a couple of times. They're talking about something a little bit more serious.
They do have like a barometer for what determines an injury, and it's,
yeah, but
not narrow definition. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's one of the problems that the article pointed out was that so everywhere that you look, there's a lot of different studies and papers that are written trying to suss things out about injuries when it comes to lots of different things when it comes to football, because football is among professional sports, I think, the highest injury rate. So reducing injuries is something that they're always talking about. In this article, they talk about how all these different papers have different definitions, like you were saying, Brian, have different definitions of what an injury is, not just the severity, but where the injury is. If they they report it as an injury. Well, this paper is talking about head injuries and lower extremity injuries. This paper is talking about ACL tears only, you know, like. Stuff like that, and there needs to be a more consistent reporting of these injuries if you're going to make decisions based on it, you know. Claire in the chat made a comment. She was joking, saying, so to summarize, it depends. Yes. But you know what, that when you're talking about controversy, that often is what the truth is
right.
That it's complicated.
Almost always.
That's why it's a controversy. Well, is because it's complicated.
And the fact that it depends means that there's less of a difference than if it's like, oh yeah, no, it doesn't depend. AstroTurf is way worse, or natural grass is way worse. The fact that it depends does mean it's like, all right, it's closer to being in the middle, and maybe there are other things that need to be looked at to prevent injury besides the grass.
Well, let me ask you this, Bobby, because something I noticed last night in the game, the helmets have changed a lot in recent years, and it wasn't just for like design. It looks cool, but there's this little bump in the back now.
Yeah.
There's also this weird little thing in the front, absorption plate right in the front as well. It's like this weird cutout. And I thought initially, I was like, well, these are cool designs. The whole league's doing it. Interesting. And then I went, well, it's probably not that. And I looked it up. So all of these new helmet techs are designed to not just take better hits, but also measure them. And, you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on with that.
Yeah.
Does that mitigate this data? Is it included in it? Do they take in account, you know, advancements in equipment?
Mostly they're just looking at injury rates over time. And I think as far as I can tell, the NFL Players Association, who's really the ones that are pushing for this change to be all real grass everywhere and to ban artificial, they're just looking at the reports of lower extremity and specifically non-contact injuries. And that's important too. We're talking about injuries where there was actually one last night. I looked it up to see if there were any. There was one last night. One of the, I don't know who it was, some green, 49ers green something.
Yeah, is that the one where when he was running out after the punt return, he ran out on the field and got injured?
Yeah, he was sitting on the sidelines, and a bunch of them were running on, and he got a few. I saw a video of it. He got, you know, maybe 5 or 6 steps out, and then collapsed,
crumpled. Yeah,
yeah, and he had an Achilles tendon tear,
or
some kind of an injury, and that's the type that they're talking about. Not necessarily moving on to the sidelines, but there's lots of them. You know, like a wide receiver catch. One of the famous ones that really got people starting in the public to talk about, and this became a big controversy, was back in I don't remember the year. It was 2022. I got it right here. Super Bowl 56. OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
He was a wide receiver for the Rams, and he had an ACL tear after catching a ball, and there were no defenders around. So
just
he just caught the ball, hit the ground, and the foot went a weird way, and the knee twisted and got an injury. There's Aaron Rodgers tore an Achilles tendon in a similar situation in 2023, last year's season. So it doesn't, that's the type they're talking about, is what they call non-con. But then again, different places, different reporting places will define non-contact differently, because some will say, oh, well, maybe it's non-contact if they get pushed, but then the injury happens as a result of them hitting the ground. Is that does that count as non-contact or not? Because it wasn't a result of the primary hit, you know? I don't know. That's things that need to be defined, especially if you're trying to make decisions that you're claiming are going to benefit the health of players, right?
Right.
You want to make changes that are actually going to change things, because and when it comes to ACL tears and Achilles tears, all these lower extremities things, the real, When the cleats meet the turf, is about that actual contact. It's and that's what this paper this article is talking about, is that one of the kind of conclusions is that it's very nuanced, and it goes back to what Claire said, right? It depends.
Sure.
Is because it really depends on what kind of cleats are you wearing and what is the turf that you're on, because what really matters is the traction between the cleats and the ground.
Sure.
Because studies have absolutely shown that the main contributing factor to lower limb injuries is what it's called rotational traction. So when your foot hits the ground, whether it twists,
kind of splits or slips,
whether it slides in a rotational way under you.
Yeah.
And if you can reduce that, then you reduce the amount of injuries by like 4 to 5 times.
It's like playing, I don't know, playing in butter or on ice or something. You don't have that friction control for the more micro movements. We're not talking about big slips like woo, like they do on Lambeau Field sometimes in the snow. You're talking about these little, like, you've planted your foot. The normal thing is you've got a grip and now you're going to turn this way. And normally that's fine. But if it's not holding or it gives, that's when you get in trouble. That makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
And so maybe the result is, or maybe the solution is, look at those stadiums on an individual basis. Look at what type of grass are they using? What type of cleats are their home team playing in? You know, like, try to figure out if there's a pattern. There's a sensible way to increase that traction there.
Yeah.
Because some people just claim. Oh, go ahead,
Scott. Well, I was going to say there's so much concern about concussive injury that I think some of this other stuff gets left to the side, or we don't think about it
well,
as much.
Well, that's another point, though, that people make is, why is the Players Association even focusing on this? Because here's the bottom line. American football is a bunch of really big people moving really fast into each other.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of injuries, you know? And so if you want to reduce those injuries, do we want to focus on this? Because maybe this data, maybe there's nothing true in that data. And it really just is that these injuries are going to happen because of the nature of the sport, and that you should be focusing on other things. I think the head injuries, the head trauma is definitely a good thing to focus on.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. They get like this. See these guys grunting?
They're hearing it.
Yeah, they want to smack in each other's head as hard as they can. They want to stop that ball. They want to, you know, their motivations literally
with Scott and Brian.
their motivations literally are all about, I need to push this back. I need to stop this. I need this person to go down. As long as that's the sport, the focus has to be on, you know, that's.
By the way, I couldn't see the video, Scott, but if you keep watching that, I'm going to throw boiling water on you.
You know, now that you say it, it's probably not great. I was trying to find a good hit effect here. Let's try this one. Let's try that again. Why didn't that work? Hold on. Okay, let's try this one. Oh, that's
a good crunchy one.
That's a nice crunchy helmet.
Some Foley work right there.
Yeah. I like a good body hit. Yeah, like that. Yeah. Oh, it's good stuff, man.
Giggity.
Yeah, big giggity. Anyway, well, this is fascinating. You know, we went from here's a big national sport moment to let's go deeper and talk about other things. Yeah. Also,
that's what gets me interested in the Super Bowl.
For sure. Yeah, no, and I can see why. I love, like you, I love data. I love hearing about these things and seeing what, what kinds of statistics we can see between things like natural grass, turf.
Yeah. You should do a whole episode on this, Bobby. Are you going to, or have you, or will you?
And we're not planning on it, but you know what we did do on the episode that just came out on Monday is on our podcast, All Around Science. Do you have your pens and pencils ready to write that down?
Right here. Look at this.
I'll say it again. All Around Science.
Hold on. Let me write this down. All... Yeah. Just kidding.
So we talk about science, and we just talked about the cicada. You've heard of cicadas, and their swarms. Well, they're this year in the spring. There's going to be a once in two centuries event, which is a double brood swarm is happening.
Oh, God.
Double brood swarm. Once. That's my favorite StarCraft expansion. I love that one.
Brood across the sky. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Scary, dude.
Wow. Is it going to be like the grasshopper apocalypse in Vegas that we had a few years ago? This double brood cicada?
Yeah. It will be like that. Yeah. Wow. But it won't be in Vegas, of course. I don't think there's cicadas over there, but.
Where will we mostly see this? Wetter climes?
Southeast and up through states like Indiana and stuff like that, through Missouri and Arkansas.
That's cool.
So
that's cool.
It's going to be all over the place, and we talk a lot about it, why it's a big deal, and why it is that the last time that this happened was when Thomas Jefferson was president.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Really? Is that so? That's crazy. That's a long time ago. We haven't had that since then? That's amazing. I don't know why I'm so shocked by that.
Is singer John Cicada going to get involved with any of this?
I hope not.
Surprise, surprise. special interview.
Oh, wow.
Nice. That's a get. That's a really
that's
good
a
get.
Huge get. Nicely done,
guys. I hope I'm not about to disappoint any fans.
Well, you and Maura should be thankful.
John Sakata has been disappointing people for decades, so I think you're just fine.
Yeah, you'll be all right. Well, Bobby, this stuff's always great. Again, All Around Science, wherever you get it, it's available all places. And Bobby, it's always nice having you here. Is there anything else you'd like to say to complete your time in front of us here today?
No, there's not.
Goodbye, then. Well, then he's gone, then.
No, you. Okay.
No, you. all right, we are done. Real quick note, though, however, so tonight, if you want to watch us play a little Unreal Tournament or even play yourselves, if you can get in, I think we have 20 slots or something, 24. It'll be 4:30 p.m. Mountain Time today. And after that, Carter will be home from work, and I will be sitting down with her for another episode of the Monday show. If you missed it last Monday, we will have an actual working RSS feed for the podcast tonight as well. And of course, the video archives will always be up for people. So come check it out.
I hear that show has made the Boomtown Rats and Bob Geldof really change their tune.
Yeah, like big time.
Yeah.
Ooh, you just reminded me of something.
Oh, really?
I wanted to ask you because I assume you've either seen it or you're going to. And if you have seen it, I want to know
what
you think.
The greatest night in pop music history. Yes. It's on my list to watch this week.
Okay. Because I'm so curious about it, dude.
Oh, I've heard so many good things. I can't wait to watch it. Yeah, I wish there was one. Yeah. I'm excited to see this one, but man, I wish there was one for Band-Aid.
Band-Aid would be good.
That was more my music than the people that they got for this one. But if nothing else, I'm hoping I'll finally learn why Dan Aykroyd performed with We Are the World.
Are we going to finally get an answer to that?
We'll finally get an answer to that. Exactly.
Yes. Are we going to get info about why Bob, not Geldof, Bob, the other Bob,
Newhart?
No.
Odenkirk?
No, the singing guy from, he's a classic.
Dylan?
Dylan, why Bob Dylan looks so grumpy the whole time, or why, or not grumpy, he just looked confused.
Well, that's...
He was like, that's what's Bob going Dylan. On here? You know, and then you got but Michael Jackson.
There are people dying. It's time to lend a hand.
And Michael Jackson looked like irritated, and what's her name?
I hear Lionel Richie was more instrumental in this whole thing than we even give him credit. We think of it as like a who's the producer behind it? Was it Quincy Jones?
Quincy Jones.
It's for whatever reason. That's what I'm thinking with this. Yeah. Like there was a Quincy Jones and Michael Jackson deal, and no, Lionel Richie apparently was the dude who at the AMAs cornered people and said, no, we need you for this. We need to get you for this.
Oh, interesting. Oh, yeah, here it is. It even says the song was written by Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie and produced by Quincy Jones and Michael Omartian, however you say his name.
Okay.
I didn't know Michael Jackson co-wrote that song with Lionel Richie.
Yeah. Yeah, and he has a totally different writing style. He basically, from what I hear, records, he gets the melody, or got, I guess he's not around anymore, got the melodies in his head. Spoiler alert, Michael Jackson not around anymore.
Yeah, he's not here.
Got the melodies in his head, would sing them into a tape recorder, then take that tape out and put another tape in and record a drum beat. And then he'd take that tape out and put another one, and somehow you play all these tapes together and you get this demo version of a song. It's amazing.
That is amazing. Well, it looks good, and I want to see it, so thanks for reminding me.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for today's show. So watch all that stuff tonight. Also, if you're looking for more stuff about us, go find it at frogpants.com/TMS. Brian, it's time to get out of here. Would you please play us a song so we can do that?
I guess. Yeah, this is, we talked about, did we talk about Bruce Springsteen? He's involved in that thing, in that We Are the World, and he's interviewed in it as well. Bruce inspired this email right here. Hayden wrote in and said, "Hey, Brian and Scott, I turned 30 on February 1st. I'm getting to a lot of these older ones that I missed in the first part of the month because we had a lot in the first part of the month.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian and Scott, turning 30 on February 1st, which I think is also Brian's son's birthday, so happy birthday to him as well. getting really into my old man era and listening to a lot of Bruce Springsteen and Pink Floyd lately. Mm. Love the show. Been listening since the ELR days, re-listening to episodes constantly on my iPod video at school. Oh, the old iPod video.
Wow.
I hope it's the black one with kind of the bulbous front, like it's a little bit rounded on the front.
I like that one.
Yeah. Thanks for all the memories over the years. Signed, Hayden. Awesome. Aww. Love hearing that.
That's great. Love it.
That's so cool. Yeah, he says, any cover of older Bruce Springsteen, preferably something harder or rockier. So, you know, I'm not going for the Ghost of Tom Joad stuff or the Born in the USA stuff. I'm going a little bit earlier to Darkness on the Edge of Town and a song called Adam Raised a Cain. This one covered here by a band that I love and hope to get to see live. They perform at the Stanley Hotel, the hotel that inspired Stephen King to write The Shining. And one of these years, I want to go see one of their shows up there, because apparently they go up there a lot, sometimes even on Halloween. Murder by Death is the band. Their As You Wish, Volume 2 from 2015, included this cover of Bruce Springsteen's Adam Raised a Cain.
Adam raised the cane. Adam raised
Get more at frogpants.com.
Now let's get back to our story.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.